grace. Him am I, the holy fire, cover me with grace. And the other one that reaches out to say, I am set free. Oh, oh, oh. I am set free.
Savior, who will never fail.
perfect submission. All his errors and all the other of tomorrow, Lord, and my sins. So this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Praising my
Church. We are delighted you're here with us this morning. Welcome if you're joining us online on Facebook that you decided to stay home and not battle the rain. We're grateful. This is Hope on the Beach Church, and we're at Inlet. And when we are at Inlet, when it's in bad weather, we are at Ghost Crab Pizza. So we're very grateful to be at Ghost Crab Pizza, and you can enjoy the beautiful water in the black and white background. Just imagine. Let your heart go there. My name is Jason. I'm honored to be the senior pastor here. We're delighted you're here with us. It's great to be able to gather together. No matter where it is, that's where, when we gather together in God's name, that's where His church is, and that's where He's at. And we'd love to be able to recognize your presence with us. We believe He brings you to this place of no judgment, of grace. And so in your worship folder, there's a connection card. If you're online, you can please fill it out. We'd love to be able to recognize, your presence. You can put it on the post. But for you us here, if you could be so kind to fill out the front, it'd be great to be able to recognize your presence and delight to have you with us. We are continuing a series of Arrival. We're looking at an Advent as we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord, and so we'll lean more into that in the message today. But with that, why don't we rise and why don't we begin our worship together in prayer. So much you pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to gather together. We're grateful for, your amazing grace that is so amazing that you would love us. And then we'll see how you individually just care for us. And so today, wherever we're kind of walking into, we come into your place and your presence, and in your presence is your peace. And we allow that, and we ask that that peace would so fill our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ is my foundation, the rock on which I stood. Everything around me shaking, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so save ascending strong, oh yeah. There is I'm gonna make it with you. Is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand. Everything around me shaking. Oh, I've never been more blessed. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful to change.
God is so good, even in the storm. That's when he shows up the best, right? Yes. So I have a new song, and it's called Peace. I'm just going to sing the chorus real quick for you so you can hear it. But he's the Prince of our peace, right? He's the Prince of Peace, and even in the storm, all you got to do is turn your eyes up to him and just give it to him. And he's going to take care of it.
Holds us in his hands. Oh, peace. So who in here to wash our feet? A warrior to suffer our defeat. The China will deny our death and stay. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and breathe.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Peace, peace, peace on earth. Oh, peace, peace, peace on
It's a Lutheran group, and I encourage you to download on Spotify. We'll be singing that the rest of the season as kind of the new song for this year. We had Thanksgiving with our whole family on our side, so that was 8 adults. That's 4 grandchildren, 6 grandkids from little infants up, and then my parents and Christy's parents came too. And in that mix of being together, there was the idea that we should have a family photo. Come on, man. It was chaos. I don't know who was worse, the younger kids or my parents, from looking at the camera. Can you just look at the camera and smile? Can you do it all together? I mean, thank goodness it's digital. I mean, we have thousands of pictures of different things. And then it was just like, oh, this is painful to edit. It's just like, delete, 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 delete. You know what? This is just good enough. Here we go. But it was chaos trying to get everybody right in a picture. And then what killed me is I was on Facebook and I saw some other families and they had family photos from their Christmas gathering. And it looked so good. And I'm like, it raised this question in your notes, number one. Why do we see peace everywhere, but we don't feel peace in our hearts? I see peace everywhere. I see these pictures smiling, and I'm like, but no, not for me. There was not peace in my heart at that time. Jesus said to his disciples, John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let them be afraid." This word is for somebody today who's feeling anxious, maybe a little bit afraid. Jesus promised us peace, his peace. And yet, many people, it's common that we feel more anxiety than we do peace. In fact, we have a whole book that's been written on research of the anxious generation, this next generation. They're defined by anxiety. Most of the time, what we find is not peace, but our hearts are in trouble. Our hearts are not at rest. And we look at it. And it doesn't take long to figure out maybe why. When we just look at our world and look at our life, you just open your phone and what do? You turn on a TV, you're getting blasted constantly of the next newsflash, the next breakout, the next crisis. And if it's not around the world, it's in our world, it's in our politics, it's everywhere. There's inflation, there's rumors of wars and interest rates and housing prices and food prices and this and that and a health crisis and a mental health crisis. And it just goes on and on. And then you add on to that you're going to gather in a few weeks with your crazy family and deal with the holidays. There's a lack of peace going on. And unfortunately, a reality that many of us in the church, and this is our church family, are going through some real struggles and challenging, horrible situations. And Jesus says, "I give you my peace." And sometimes in the craziness, I want to say, okay, Jesus, you promised, you said you give us your peace. I know you give us your peace, but sometimes I think you forgot me. Or maybe you've given your peace and I just left it somewhere I can't remember. Where did I lay it down? Where is that peace? And when you're going through situations and you're going through chaos, you're going through some hurt, you're kind of always wondering, maybe, is even peace possible? Is it possible for this anxious generation? Is it possible in a society that's so charged with anxiety that we're carrying around all the time? Is it possible really to truly have peace today in 2025? That's why I wrote today's message. It's titled, Is Peace, Peace for the Anxious Mind? So let's pray. Father, we pray that your living word will never, that never turns void, would just bring healing and renewal in our minds, in our hearts. I pray, God, especially for those who are feeling your anxiety, the anxiousness today, overwhelmed by worry. May your Holy Spirit draw us close to you, that we experience your supernatural peace that goes beyond any human ability or understanding. May you again just allow your truth to set in our hearts, that it may be molded and shaped by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. So we're in this series. It's called The Arrival. It's a series based on Advent. And if you haven't been around for a while about Advent or what Advent's about, Advent is in a very rich spiritual time in the church's season. And what it really says, we take a very focused amount of energy and spiritual focus of focusing our attention and preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And so for centuries, centuries, and centuries, Christians have been practicing this and saying this is a significant event that we just don't want to just pass by on a calendar, but we really want to impact us. And so they fast and they pray, they search the scriptures and preparing our hearts for Jesus coming. Not only do we do it for Jesus coming to be born, but also not for the first coming, but also for his second coming, for he will come again. And so the church has decided centuries ago that it would say, hey, there's four things we should focus on. It would be love, which we focused on, hope, which we focused on last week, the hope, and then it will be peace, joy, love, and then Christ. And so if we had an Advent wreath, we'd have those candles, and we'd be lighting those candles and symbolic of those movements that the church has focused on centuries as they have been preparing for Christ. Because the church was waiting. We forget how long the church was waiting for the Son to be born. And we're reminded, as we talked about last week, that Jesus came when? Anybody remember when he came? At the exact right time. Galatians remind us it was the exact right time when Jesus came to be born on earth. And Luke records what the angels pronounced in the birth of Christ. In Luke 2:14 in your notes, he says, glory to God in the highest of heaven. Glory to God in the highest of heaven and peace on earth. Glory to God. They're praising God. God, you are worthy of our praises. And Jesus comes and angels promised Jesus would come. And what does he come to do? He comes to bring peace on earth. Now, this is not the first time Jesus was described as peace. 700 years ago in the Old Testament, before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah had a messianic promise, prophecy of Jesus. And what did he prophesy about Jesus? Isaiah says this in 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You can say it out loud. Prince of Peace. In other words, Jesus doesn't just promise us his peace. Jesus is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings peace on earth. Literally, God's Son is the Prince of Peace. He is peace, and he is on the earth, and he came to the earth. In Hebrew, there's two words of Prince of Peace, and it is Zar Shalom. Zar Shalom, Prince of Peace. That's what it means, number two. Zar Shalom, Prince of Peace. Let's break that a little bit. Zar means, A, the one in charge. The one in charge is the Zar. The Lord, the chief, the general. B, shalom, you know, we might take that as a greeting. It was a Hebrew greeting. But it means rest. It means tranquility, wholeness, fullness of peace. Who is Jesus? He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Tzar Shalom. He is the Lord of Shalom. He's the General of Shalom. What kind of peace does Jesus give? What kind of peace does the Prince of Peace bring to us? There's two kinds. First is A, he brings peace with God. Peace with God. Peace on earth starts with a peace with God. And this is really important. And remember, at Christmas time, is more than any other time, we would say Jesus is born, and Jesus is born of a, come on, virgin. Virgin Mary. Jesus is born of a Virgin Mary. We say this more often any time in this time of year. We say Jesus is born of a Virgin Mary and was conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? This is really important to our peace. It really matters to our peace. You see, Jesus was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. In other words, his father was his heavenly father. He didn't have an earthly father. If Jesus had an earthly father, he could not be our Prince of Peace, because an earthly father has sin. The Bible talks that all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, and we have inherited sin, and the sin is passed through the Father. And so Jesus would have been born of sin, not able to bring peace with the Father. But he was conceived by his heavenly Father. He is the peace that comes, that is able to live a non-sinful life for you and I. Right? Sin, nobody teaches you how to sin. Right? Nobody taught a baby how to say, mine. They learn it all on their own. Why? That's our sinful nature. Jesus didn't have that. He had a spiritual father conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in him, and therefore he could be then the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God that John the Baptist proclaimed, who can come to take away the sins of the world. Paul writes it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin. So on the cross, Jesus takes our sin. He was sinless. He was that Lamb of God, yet he takes on our sin. Why? So that him we may become the righteousness of God. Now maybe right now, you're maybe be doing a little life out of God's will. And maybe you don't feel like you have that relationship with God, or possibly you don't feel like you have that peace with God. Maybe you get in those times like, I don't even know where I stand with God. Am I in good standing or in bad standing with God? I don't know if I've been good enough to have salvation, to have that certainty. You don't have the peace with God. You know, peace with God. The good news is that what I want to do is I want to share that peace with God based on God's word for you, and to give you a best understanding as I can. John 3:16, we know it so well. So God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever should believe in him, whoever, doesn't matter what you've done, how bad it's been, where you've been in your life, it says whoever believes in Jesus will not die but will have everlasting life. Jesus came to give life. And what did he come for? But he keeps continuing, 3:17. For he did not come to condemn the world, but what? Save the world. Save us from our own sin. So that means when Jesus comes for all, whoever believes, whoever, that's all of us, are sinners. He's not there to judge what great level of sin. He's come to save us from our sin, save us from the punishment, from the separation from God. God's word says, and he says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He forgives and he washes you clean from that unrighteous, from that sin. Paul says in Romans 1:8, therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. What's the new creation? The Spirit of God is in you. The old has gone. The old sinful self. Paul is saying God will look upon you and he sees a Christ in you and he no longer condemns and you're no longer under his judgment. You are no longer held to be condemned because of your sin because Jesus is in you and you have the peace with God. Therefore, you don't have to worry where you are with God. You don't have to fear where you are with your Heavenly Father. And what happens in the afterlife? You can experience the grace and forgiveness and the peace of God now. And the peace of God that gives us this great, bold confidence of his love for us and he's with us. This is the good news that the shepherds understood. This is the news that they ran and told everyone. That you and I have this peace that's in us that we can go tell everyone one by one that Jesus had come to us and has made peace with us through this virgin born of the Holy Spirit who took on our flesh and took on our sin and did the work for us. This is the exciting news of Christmas. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who is peace, who has come and done it for us to give us peace with God. But not only that, B, he gives you the peace of God. The peace of God. When Jesus promised you peace, his peace, this kind of peace is conditional. It's kind of conditional. Maybe you've done this with your kids, right? If you're good, we can open up some gifts on Christmas Eve. If you're bad, it won't be. We'll do Christmas. And if you're still bad, I'll just return them. Right? It was conditional, right? If you're good, these are the gifts you're going to get. If you're not, you're not going to give the gifts. You can do that because you rule. You're in charge. It's kind of conditional. And so how do we experience that peace? Isaiah 26 tells us, how do we experience this peace of God that is kind of conditional? It says, you, being God, will keep you in this perfect peace. All, now he says all, but is it all who do whatever they want to do and whatever they want to do? No, it's no. You're all are kept in perfect peace who do what? All who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. You'll be kept in perfect peace, all who fix their thoughts on him. Now, what does it mean to be kept in perfect peace? This is rich. It's translated as shalom. Shalom, shalom, perfect peace. And so if we go to the original text in Isaiah again, it's back to back, shalom, 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 shalom. It's back to back, word to word. And in that, this is a Hebrew theological term that comes up that's called Hebraic doubling. When they do Hebraic doubling, what does that mean? That means a linguistic technique in the Hebrew Bible in which the word repeated is to convey intensified meaning. Maybe we bold it. Maybe you send a text with a slam or an explosion, right? It's an intensified meaning when the word is put back. So see, shalom, shalom means this perfect and unbroken peace. It's complete well-being, both inward and outward. Now be clear, this is not a double portion of peace. It's not just, oh, here's more. No, this is perfect peace. Perfect peace. So if you say perfect peace, does that mean I don't have any problems in my life anymore? If I have God's perfect peace, everything just goes right? No. I mean, how do you know you have God's perfect peace? You know it because when things go wrong, you still have peace. That's how you know you have perfect peace. See, number four is really important for us because this is not in our mindset. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Our whole American construct is built on the idea that I can get peace by getting rid of every problem I have. And the reality is you're never going to get rid of problems. You're always going to have brokenness. Things are going to break. Things aren't going to work. The kids are going to bother you. Your wife is going to nag you. Your spouse is going to be on your nerves. That doesn't mean that takes away perfect peace. Perfect peace is different than that. It's based not on this outward circumstances or a problem-free world, but number five, perfect peace is found in the presence of God. In the presence of God, not in the absence of problem, but in the presence of God. That's why the Bible says, as Paul writes in the New Testament, you have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Because when I'm looking at your life, you're looking at your own life, and you're seeing everything going on, you should be a mess. But you're not. And many of you who've been walking with Jesus understand that. You can be having a marital struggle and a strife going on, and you know what, you're leaning into God, and this is a hard season maybe you're in, but you just have this peace because you know as you lean into God, God is at work and God is going to bring you back together under His grace. Or maybe you've had a child who's walked away from the church or walked away from the faith, or a grandchild, and this amazing heartbreak that goes on with that and a struggle, and you're praying over them, you're praying, and you know this is really is a bothersome. You got this peace. Because you know, God loves them more than even you do. He gave His own Son. He is seeking them. He's going after them. Or if we watch people in our own congregation, like Bob and Michelle, with Bob going through a terrible time with cancer, and yet in this time and in this battle with it, there's this incredible peace in their hearts and in their home. Or it could be that it's difficult to pay bills and you're like, man, there's a lot of uncertainty going in the world, a lot of uncertainty going in your job, and you get nervous and you have anxiety about it and you feel that anxiety, but at the same time you go, you know what, I know God's word and I know that God will supply me with every need I need and I can trust in Him and I can still pour out and do my tithe and my generosity and I have peace. Isaiah says, God will keep you in perfect peace, all whose thoughts are fixed on Him. That word fixed, number A in your notes, is samak. It's to lean on completely, to fully rest oneself. To lean on completely, fully rest oneself. It is a word picture here. Can you see it? You'll be kept in perfect peace with all your thoughts if you're leaning on God. You'll be kept in that perfect peace if your thoughts are leaning on His truth. So let's just play a little game here. Here's a question I need you to answer out loud, okay? Where do people fall? Where do people fall? Which way do people fall? Down. That's good. We don't fall up. That's true. Which way do we fall? Huh?
Forward?
I'm kind of teaching that way, no. We fall, this is 100% research figured out, we fall wherever we're leaning. You fall wherever you are leaning. You always fall the direction you lean. So here's the question. Which way are you leaning? Are you leaning on God's truth? Or are you leaning on your own ability and understanding and wisdom? Where are you leaning? The Proverbs in 5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and He will make straight your paths. It's powerful. Don't lean on your own logic. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on your own knowledge. Don't lean on AI. You can't get it all done. You can't do it. You can't figure it out. You got to lean in on the goodness of God. You got to lean on God's truth. You got to lean on your knowledge of God. The word in Hebrew for knowledge is yada. I like that, yada. And it means to know, like to personally know in your heart, not just your head, but in your heart. And so in all your ways, you know him in your heart. In all the ways that you seek him, that you know him. All the ways the word, it tells your truth. You lean on the goodness of God. You lean on the promises. You lean on God's strength. In all your ways, what are you doing? You are surrendering to God. So here's the paradox to peace. Is number six. The peace of God is found in surrender. The peace of God is found in surrender and not control. Not control. So A, your notes, right? Almost every time you're worried, you're overwhelmed, you're anxious, you're up at 2 a.m. trying to figure things out, think through stuff, manipulate things, get your way, get the way you want to get it, the outcome you want, you desire. When you're doing that, what are you doing? You're doing two things in your notes. Number one, you're overestimating your ability to control. You're overestimating your ability to control, and you're underestimating, number two, the goodness of God. You're saying, this is all on me, in my strength, my ability to figure this out, to make this all happen, and you're also then putting the weight all on you, and you're taking anything off of God, and you're not trusting God, and not saying, God, in your goodness, that this is good, and this is right, that you'll bring it, and you'll make it happen. You're leaning on yourself, your understanding, your ability, and your knowledge, and therefore you forfeit peace, because peace is found in surrender, not control. So it raises the question B in your notes. Are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? Are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? See, number one, this is one we probably haven't taught before. Just as Jesus gives us peace to comfort us, he can withdraw it to refine us. So think about this. Again, I'm going to go back to this question. What is something you're trying to control, something that's not in your control? And I can say in my own life, I just talked to Christian this week a little bit about it, is that, you know, our church is looking for land for the main campus, and there's been no report. And I'm just going, wow, we've been looking for a long time. It's not like it's a big piece of land here. How hard is this? Apparently really hard. And the temptation is, well, I'll just go look. I'll figure this out. Why is it taking so long? You want to control it. And God says, it's not yours to control. Surrender it. So just take a moment. What is it that you're trying to control that you shouldn't control? Why don't you just invite us to just kind of have a prayer time through that? Because I think it's important. God, what is it revealed to us, Lord? What is it that we are trying to control that we can't control? What is it that we need to just surrender to you? Maybe it's a financial situation, a health situation, a kid, our spouse. Our spouse. We can't change them. Only you can. We can't change the circumstances of our world and our government environment. Only you can. God, show us the areas of our lives that we're getting in your way, that we're trying to manipulate. Show us where we're not leaning on you. And give us the faith to surrender. Give us the faith to fix our eyes on you and to lean on you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so there's perfect peace. that Jesus can give, and there's perfect peace, as I said, that Jesus can take away. And so maybe you're sitting there going, well, okay, I have peace with God, I just don't have God's peace, and I'm feeling like I don't have peace in situations. Well, there is time where God is giving you peace and affirmation, right? When we're seeking his word and we realize, man, he's carrying us, like I said before, we have that peace. And then when there's all this chaos, we still have this strength inside, this certainty, this confidence that we're walking in his will and his way, and that this is what he wants us to do. And other people look at our lives and go, how can you do that? How can you just be so peaceful in this? It's because God is there. But there are those times when we don't have peace. And even times we don't have peace when it's something good that we think is good that we want. Because God has removed his peace because he's trying to save us from doing something stupid. Right? You've all seen this. Maybe you experienced this. You've seen somebody who is just wants to go with this person and is in love with this person and think this is the best person for their life, and you're looking at it going, this is a train wreck, this relationship's never going to work, but they're convinced about it. And they're trying to make the relationship happen. And then at some point that pines, they go, man, I don't know what it is. I really want this relationship. I really think this would be great, but I don't have peace. That's God. He's removing his peace to get your attention, to say, this is not a good thing for you. Well, maybe it's a job opportunity, but it comes with a promotion, everything, more money, and it all sounds great, and all sounds wonderful, just like you've been dreamed of. And you say, man, I can't wait to sign. You're so excited about it, but you don't have peace about it. See, your Heavenly Father cares and loves you and cares about you personally, and he knows what you can't see. And what he'll do is he'll remove his peace, even for something that you think is great and you really want. He'll remove your peace as a sign to say, this isn't good. You can't see it. You think it's what you want, but you're going to get there, and it's going to take away what you really need. And it's going to take away what you really love. You just can't see it because you're only seeing the other things. And so what God will do, he'll just remove your peace to keep you from doing something that would be wrong or dumb. Like buying that refrigerator, it's all high tech, that has a full screen TV in it, a 28% interest rate. He's going to say, no, that's not a good idea, right? He removes his peace. See, Jesus not just gives us peace for comfort, he withdraws his peace to refine us to him. Because he is the Lord of peace and Prince of Peace. And this is the good news. The peace he promised is a promise for you. Through Jesus, you can have peace with God and you can have the peace of God. The challenge is not to give that peace away for earthly peace. Not to go into our world and our culture that takes peace and reduces it down to temporary relief, to fix quick fixes of entertainment, of dopamine, of self-care, empty promises that always fall short and don't truly satisfy our deepest need in our souls. We so often, so easily fall for counterfeits instead of the real shalom. A God's sacred, holy peace. And we settle for shallow substitutes that don't fulfill. And we wonder why our hearts are so fractured and not whole. We wonder why we can't focus and be present, that our attention is everywhere because we're so anxious, because we're not in peace. We're divided. And the world offers false comfort. The Apostle Paul, while he was in prison near the end of his ministry, near death, writes these words to us to be an encouragement to fill us. In Philippians 4, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, lean into God. Lean into his goodness. Lean into his presence. Lean into his truth. Make your request to God and say it with me, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will be so strong in you. What it will do? It will guard you. It will guard you from the chaos. It guards you from the attacks of Satan's trying to knock you and bring anxious and get your eyes fixed off God and fixed on everything around you that you try to control and get it back to being fixed on him and his thoughts that you lean into him. I'll close a little analogy here for you. There's a chiropractor to go to, and he got certified in doing chiropractic for dogs and for all animals. But I have a dog, so it's dogs. And dogs get out of alignment, get out of whack. I mean, they're in pain, their anxiety of this being out of whack from jumping and stuff like that they do. And so he takes the dog and he'll bring it back into alignment. And when the dog goes back into alignment, what the dog naturally does is it shakes. And I thought that's a beautiful illustration. When God brings us back into his peace, all that stuff that was pressing on being anxiety, we just shake off. It has no effect on us anymore. You're not going to control us. You're not going to take my eyes on Jesus. You're not going to divide this heart. You're not going to weary out this soul. Because I know a God who loves me and a God who came, who brought me peace and is there to keep me in his perfect peace. Amen. Let's pray. God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing peace that is just beyond our understanding. And Lord, it's a good thing we don't figure it all out. But I pray, Lord, that you would just, when we have that times of anxiety, that would just be a reminder that we got to get back in alignment, fixed on you, and surrender and trust you. I mean, how can we not? If you took care of our greatest need of our salvation, why would you not take care of our other things? You're a good, good Father who loves to bring good gifts to his kids, despite our brokenness. Despite our rebellion, you are gracious and generous. And to you we give thanks and we praise. All glory to God. All heaven rejoice, and we rejoice with you, Jesus. In his name, amen. Oh, and let us pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we walk in that perfect peace, we have an opportunity then to continue our worship in our tithes and our offerings. And in your worship folder, there is an offering envelope, or you can do the text to give or the QR code. They're all valid ways that we can honor God with our gifts and honor him. And to say, look, God, I totally trust you. I lean in on you. And I'm not going to lean in on this money. I'm going to lean in on you and trust you that you are providing, provide for our needs. Also, in your worship folder, if you would like to donate poinsettias in memory of or honor of loved ones and other ones that are living too, you got that opportunity to do that. They will be there at our Christmas Eve services. And just a reminder for Inlet Beach, our Christmas Eve's at 2 o'clock on Christmas Eve on the beach, if weather permits. Also, we want to invite you, if you take out that connection card, if you had an opportunity to fill out the front, if you get a look at the backside, you can share it you're celebrating today. If you'd like to get devotions about what the messages are, please sign up for that. We'll send you a daily devotion. Be glad to do that and help you in your daily walk and have that word be reminded to you. If you fill it out, we will send you a summary and just that Monday summary, you know, because sometimes we need to reset our deck for the week, so to speak. And this is a good opportunity to read that summary and let this word get deeper into our heart and mind. Also, opportunities to connect. You see that. Ladies, the Advent dinner is a great opportunity, and also you see we open our home at Christmas and just have open house, a time for fellowship and gathering. It's just a great time just to share his love together in a relaxed setting, so we invite you to that. Opportunities to serve, there's several you can see. We would love and appreciate any of your hands' participation as you help bless us to be a blessing to others as we carry out the message this Christmas season. So with that, we're going to continue our worship. I invite you to rise. When we do that, our elders will come around and receive the offering and your connection cards.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Purchase of God, owner of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Oh, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect denying, visions of
with a good old classic Christmas song, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels We Have Heard on High, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains, eerie blithe, echoing strains. Oh, 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 yeah. In excelsis Deo, Gloria, in excelsis Deo.
Yeah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Only the Prince of Peace can give. Amen.